Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Just a reminder, if you ever miss our episodes live, you can always find us on iTunes for any episodes that you may have missed or live on LA Talk Radio right after the show. Today, we have a special guest who's also a dear friend of mine, Danny Swan. Danny is an Australian-born versatile performer and businesswoman currently based in California. Danny is an internationally known dancer, motion capture performer, voiceover artist and actress, as well as an accredited Pilates practitioner and creative director and producer. She is represented by leading Hollywood agents Vox USA and the team for Hummingbird PR. Additionally, she is the managing director of Cyber Blue Productions, LLC in Hollywood, and the CEO of Swan Movement PTY. In 2016, Danny was selected to be a board member for the performance motion capture artist SAG-AFTRA. Danny is the lead performer, motion capture artist, and producer of the upcoming science fiction franchise Cerulean, created by concept artist Tani Kunitaki, who has also worked on projects such as The Matrix, Star Wars, and Episode 8, as well as the visual effects guru Grant Boucher from Titanic and Dogma. Danny was the face of the Sydney International Sci-Fi Festival as Cerulean and is the model for the comic book, which will be published in early 2017. Additionally, Danny is also a guest judge and creative director on Caribbean's Next Top Model Season 2 for Tyra Banks Global Empire. And I understand, Danny, you're going to Comic-Con, right?
I am, yes, in a couple of weeks now, actually.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here, Danny.
Ever
since you and I met, I've been wanting to have you on the show. I mean, I think we met even before that.
Yes.
But I love your story because I think that it teaches people that no matter what obstacles we face, it's all about the strength, the tenacity, and the perseverance that we have as human beings, and especially you for being a strong, powerful young woman to go out there, to leave your family back in Australia. Tell our listeners a little bit about that. How did your career get started, and how did you wind up here?
Well, I think in all honesty, like all of us, when you're young, you feel like you can do anything. And I was that young girl with a huge passion, from a small coastal town called Newcastle in Australia, which now, you know, looking back, I'm very thankful. I probably took it for granted how beautiful it was growing up there. And, you know, at the end of the day, dance was my life. You know, if I wasn't performing, I was choreographing, or I was, anytime something was hard, I'd always find myself with a pair of headphones on. And at that time, it was a Discman.
For any of our listeners who don't know what that is, I think if I remember correctly, it's like where you put a CD.
The worst, because I'd be walking along the beach, like choreographing, and then all of a sudden it'd skip, and you're like, you know, I'd have some 50 Cent jump bounce up and down on my thing. But I got scouted from my hometown. I went straight to Sydney. And I had an amazing woman, which is funny, just popped in my head. Isn't it funny how it pops in your head like that? Her name was Leah Howard, from an agency called Detour. And she just saw something in me and said, you got to pack your bags and get to Sydney. And me being me, my parents were very supportive, but still, you know, daunted, I think. But I was always just like, yeah, I'm there. You know, and next thing I know, I'm signed in Sydney for modeling, professional dancer. I was a TV presenter as well. I kind of fell into all these different places, and as you do when you're young, because you're trying to find your feet, you know, where do I fit in all this? And at the end of the day, I just wanted to do what I loved and do it really well. You know, I had such a strong business ethic, I think, back then. And at the time, that was when I was around 18, 19, I found Pilates actually through an injury, through a car accident. And I, on the side, I had a Pilates studio, and I saw a market in corporate Pilates. Like less overheads with having a studio, and I was able to go and then go do my auditions and perform. And And then I got an opportunity to go to Europe. And that was life-changing for me, because seeing myself in many, many different cultures all over Europe, and most Australians go from, especially typically actresses and actors go straight from succeed in Australia and go to LA.
Yep.
Okay? I did it completely backwards. I did all of Europe. I did Italy, Paris, London, and then I ended up New York, LA. Even a bit of Canada for a second there. But I found the European path in my life really amazing because of the perception of beauty was great. I came from a small coastal town where it was the spray tan blonde. You know, I used to be that, by the way. Everyone that remembers. And then I went to Italy and it was like, you know, the fair skin, blue eyes, dark hair, which I am, you know, was beautiful. And I remember thinking like, like, wait, I'm pretty. You know, wait, this is beautiful. It's a different culture. Hmm. It was like here in LA, it's all about the curves and the butt. And I was just like, God, when I was in Paris, it was very different. You know what I mean? So I really loved the experience of Europe because, one, it from an intellectual point of view, it made me more cultured and worldly. And from a technical point of view, my art and my craft I trained so hard and really worked hard on myself. And then when I came to LA, it just all kind of situated for the first time, I think. This is where I kind of found myself in my craft, I guess.
And what had you transition from dancing and modeling into motion capture and acting?
Oh, God, that was a funny story. I was at Universal Studios with a really good friend of mine, and you know he was telling me, look, you got to get into this mocap suit. And I'm like, what's a mocap suit?
I don't even know what a mocap suit is.
Yeah, I was like, this is just
mocap.
Motion. Yeah,
the Australian accent.
It's my accent, right?
It's so cute. I thought you were saying Mel, like M-E-L.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You know, a couple of drinks in me and gets even stronger. Sorry, guys. But yeah, motion capture suit. So. At the time, this was when Avatar was starting, and he aligned me with a really great performer who was Julianne Rene, mm-hmm. and she was kind of like the right-hand lady to James Cameron.
Mm.
So I did her workshop and kind of hopped in this suit, and it was amazing because I looked at it and I was like, this mixes both of my loves because, you know, I'm a bit of a walking contradiction, you know, because I look like Audrey Hepburn, apparently, or that femme fatale, but I'm a classic nerd and, you know, sci-fi person. So I fitted that gaming genre really, really well. I grew up with boys that played Doom and the original, you know, that's why I get along so well with your husband, Jen.
Yeah.
And
you're one of the boys.
I'm one of the boys, but dressed like a lady.
Yeah.
And likes heavy metal music. There you go. But what I found was it was great because I was like, this is a way that I can do my movement and do what I love, take it into film, and keep doing it forever. You know, it's an amazing thing. And not just in the film world and video games, but also in commercial world. And that's what I love. One of my passions, what I'm doing right now, as well as working as a creative director in that commercial world, specializing in bringing movement and technology together, because you know it's just amazing being able to go, all right, I want her to jump, but then I want it to turn into glass and shatter, you
wow.
know. And with mocap you can do this, because motion capture is you wear the suit, and what it does is it takes the, like, kind of like the, I've got the DNA, but the skeleton of the human, and then you put the animation on top of it and it turns 3D. So it's a brilliant way to work, and it's just constantly evolving, you know. Like, even sitting here now, what I think is happening right now, I'm pretty sure in China right now they've got 20 years ahead of us, you know. But and then what happened was I got signed by Vox, and who is my really great agents, and there was a great man there at the actual workshop called Mark Morrissey, who you know, just kind of ignited the passion in me for mocap as well, motion capture. And I, yeah, and then from there with Vox, they they turned around and said, look, we can use you for not only the movement, but I'm a trained actor, so I can do the voiceover. And especially because a lot of video games are with British accent.
Mm.
And they use me as a model because I have that femme fatale sort of look, apparently.
Apparently. Yes, I wish everybody could see Dani because she has like very striking blue eyes, long dark hair, and is very tall and slender. So it is funny that you have kind of this rough and tumble boyish quality.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, I think it's good to have in the business world, though, let's be honest.
Oh, it is, man. I have to fight it every day. I won't even talk to you about some of the stuff I've had to deal with when it's definitely still a man's world. But at the same time, strong women, we got it all.
I know. There was a guest we had on the show about a month ago, and mm-hmm. her book, what was it? Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. It was like a best-selling New York Times book, and we were talking about how being a woman in business, as much as we've come so far and working towards equal pay, we're still not, unfortunately, equals, no matter what you think. If you just look at the facts, that's just not how we are.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's striking that balance of being a woman in, especially in Hollywood, I can only imagine. It's very different than, say, for me in the corporate world where I'm dealing with law firms.
Yeah.
It's a whole different set of obstacles. So what are some of the obstacles that you've had to face as you've made these different transitions?
Dating. I'm going to be real. I'm just going to say it out there. I'm in a new place in my life where I'm just very honest. But yes, it's LA. I'm not saying dating for myself. I'm saying, you know, coming up in, you know, I had a very strong, very, you know, we were in a very good position for a contract recently. And, you know, if you're a woman, you know, and there's a guy, it's gonna come up, you know, and sometimes you kind of want to just go in and do the job, you know, and you just want to not have to go through that. And sometimes I kind of think to myself, if I was a guy, would you be, you know, maybe, who knows?
Maybe, you never know, it is Hollywood.
you never know. But yeah, that's frustrating, but I'm trying this new philosophy in my life now so that I can really succeed in what I'm doing, and that's to just kind of breathe it out. I think it's important to just understand a spade's a spade. You know, we say in Australia, you know, chalk and cheese, you know, which is like, you know, complete. If you're complete opposites, then keep the cheese as the cheese and the chalk as the chalk, you know, because at the end of the day, you're going to come up against it. Just got to deal with it. If you lose a gig because you didn't follow through with advances, then you lose a gig. You know, you got to just keep moving forward. At the end of the day, and it's not just this way around, it's the other way around too. I have great guy friends who have the same things happen. On another note as well, I just had recently where I actually put together an amazing, well, I'm humble there, right? Amazing. It was amazing because I had a great team partner, which was Tani Kunitaki, and my team that put it together. We did a concept, and I can't really say much more than that, and delivered it, and it got great praise. But there was a lot of doubt there that I was the creative director. Mm. There was a lot of doubt there that I was the one that put it together, that I was the one that, you know, executed it. We actually had to have the team kind of go to them, go, yes, you know, it's not us, it's her. But I think because they couldn't quite see past me being the talent in it, the performer, it was quite hard for them to wrap their head around that I had actually
creatively directed it. So when you want to take that step into creative direction, mm-hmm. was it, aside from the naysayers, say whether it's people in the industry or the people you're working with,
yeah.
do you notice that you have kind of this voice in your head that says, oh, you can't do that, you are the talent? Or do you notice that there's any obstacles, and how do you overcome that naysaying voice in your head?
Oh, the voice in our heads.
Right? The voice in our head that right now, it tells me always, Jen, you're talking too fast, or, you know, it could tell you any number of things.
Yeah, I think letting go. I think letting go has always been a letting go of, because I'm very morally driven, very passionate, very protective, you know, with people I love. And sometimes I'm just like, no, that's wrong. And then I can't handle it when they go, well, that's just how it is, you know? And I'm like, but it's wrong, you know? Because that's always been me, you know? Why?
Why is it wrong?
Why? Move forward, you know? Like, But letting go of that and just moving forward and going, it is what it is. But I don't sometimes think, God, yeah, of course. Like, I doubt myself, you know. I just went home on the recent trip and I had a friend of mine go, but you've got it all together. Like, look at your stuff. Look at this. And we're in a world of social media where everything looks
so pretty and airbrushed.
Perfection.
Yep.
Perfection, you know. Like, people see me doing an arabesque or like a really strong high movement, you know, and they're like, wow, you know, that's, you're so great at that, or you're, that's awesome. But they don't see the hours and hours of training, the amount of sacrifices I have to make to do what I do. Like, I, you know, I'm so close with my parents and the people in my world, but being away from them. But I think that was my biggest thing, just going like, no one's ever gonna know, and you just got to move forward. And that was probably one of my biggest things in my head, was like, I started, especially with social media world, battling, oh, but they don't see what's really, what I really do to get here, you know? And you just got to kind of just roll with the punches, I've realized.
That's an interesting thing that you just brought up, because you're right. Every time you and I have ever seen each other socially, mm-hmm. I would say 99 out of 100 times, you've literally just come from a 3 or 4 hour training session.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important that anybody out there who's listening understands that no matter what field you're in, whether it's me with, you know, my business or my show or doing a book, or Dani with, you know, her movement capture stuff that she's doing, or Cerulean, you don't understand that a lot of people think, oh, you're just going to be lucky. You'll be like Harrison Ford, be walking down the street one day, be a construction worker, and then next thing you know, you are a big superstar.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that might happen one in a million, like being struck by lightning or winning the lottery, but for most people out there, it does take grit and it does take perseverance and tenacity to just never give up on your dream, whatever that dream is, no matter what the voice in your head says.
Oh, of course, of course. I was trying to tell that actually when I was working on Top Model. I was a guest judge there. I was telling the girls, they were just such beautiful girls on the show. I was very lucky. And that was in the Caribbean. And when we had our private time together and were able to have breakfast, they asked to have breakfast with me. And the questions that came up, you know, like, are there drugs in the industry? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you know, did you ever battle with eating
disorders?
You know?
Yeah.
Did you ever, you know, you're so beautiful. I'm not thin enough for like the catwalk and all this stuff. And I just went, hang on. You don't even know my journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here just because I'm in this position, because I've been put in this position. And I just went, girls, it's there. Yes, it's there. But you either have a choice. You either walk down a dark alley or you walk in the light. You know what I mean? Don't judge. Move forward. Don't judge anyone. Everyone has a right to be who they are and do what they do and just move forward. And I'm like, yes, of course. I battled for many, many years, because with this industry comes pressure. And with this industry comes, for every time you're doing something, there's another 20 that are doing it as well, maybe, and it better,
yep.
You know? So it's just about balance, I feel. And I told the girls, the biggest thing I can tell you is find your niche so that you stand out in that, and also have a balance of life and a business, which is something my dad taught me, and I'm really proud of, because you know, I have my businesses along the side and it keeps me running mentally, because as much as the business world, you never know as well, but there's still a bit more of a ladder effect with the business world. You know, it's, taking things personally, you know, you just can't, because you can, I can't even tell you how many auditions did in the first year I was here, and they wanted dark hair, blue eyes, fair skin, great movement, British accent. You know, it's, you know, everything that I was, but then it already been cast to someone known. So you go through it all and you just, it's hard not to take it personally, because you're not getting told you fix this, you're not good enough. You're getting told, no, it was perfect, it was great. Not perfect, no such thing as perfect.
Yes,
it was good, but it's already been done, you know, it's already cast. So yeah, you have to have a pretty thick skin, I feel.
I think that's a good point of whether you're in Hollywood trying to make it big here. I know friends of mine who are screenwriters or even going in for your average job interview.
Yeah.
Just because you don't get the job doesn't mean you're bad or worthless. In fact, there was an amazing thing I saw yesterday on Agape. Have I ever taken you to Agape? It's a great spiritual center run by Michael Beckwith over in Culver City here in LA. And I loved it. I was streaming live yesterday, and they had a guy who I hadn't heard before named Rev Kev, I think, on it. And what he did is he took out a $100 bill, and then he crumpled it. He crushed it. He smushed it. And he held up the $100 bill to the audience, and he said, "Is this $100 bill still valuable?" And everybody said, "Well, of course, yes, it is still valuable." He said, "Great." So he dropped the crumpled up $100 bill on the ground and he stomped all over it. He kicked it, he stomped it, and he said, "Is this $100 bill still valuable?" And everybody says, "Of course." And he said, "So why do you not think you're valuable when you've been kicked and when you've been stomped on?"
Uh-huh.
I thought that was just like, it made my day yesterday. I was just so excited. I've been sharing about it with people all day because we are like that $100 bill. You know, we get kicked. We get down. You may be fired from a job.
It's insane that, like, you can do, like, those little things that can kind of be so profound for you.
Yeah.
I had very recently, before I just went back on this last trip, you know, P.S. guys, I'm so good at customs now, it's not funny.
Like, you just show up and wave at the guys. You're like, Bobby, like, how's like, the kid?
I'm like, "Guys, I got this. I got this." No. Yeah, one of my really good friends who I, you know, give a shout out to is Peter Johnson. She's an amazing voiceover artist here. She was great when she came in my life here because we all go through it in LA where you kind of have lots of friends in the beginning and then you kind of have to fiddle through them to who is, you know,
a real friend,
real and great, you know, for your soul and for your you, you know. And she's a true blue Aussie. And when I was sitting down with her recently, she said something to me and blew me away. And I often have been a culprit of being very hard on myself, as you know.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, expecting a lot of myself. And she turned around. She said to me, "You know, if someone said to you, you know, if you were looking at someone, you saw someone like attacking themselves as you do to you, what would you say?" Mm. You know? And she said, and I went, "Well," or she said it about herself. And I just went, "I would go at you. I'd be like, how dare you hurt my friend, you know, like that, treat my friend like that." And she said, "Well, I'm going to say it to you. How dare you treat my friend Denny like that?" It was really profound for me because she's talking about me, the way I treat myself. She's like, "You care for everybody and you work so hard and you do everything, but you, where, you know?" And that was something that I realized. You're constantly trying to grind and deliver and excel and do what you're doing. But then at the end of the day, I'm a country girl from a humble family with really good roots, you know? And you know, you kind of lose that in the momentum of grinding. You know, you start losing sight of, like, what's important and what's not, you know? And so that became a huge wake-up call to me, one, for self-love.
Hmm.
Not self-love like, you know, everyone in LA talks about, "I'm ready for self-love and I'm going to get the self-help books." And no, I'm saying true, private, working on myself, you know? And rational.
Yeah. No woo-woo for Danny.
No.
I'm woo-woo on this side of the table. You can be not woo-woo over there.
Yeah, our friendship is very like that. The first time I met Jo, she was like, "Here's a book, a spiritual book." And I was like, okay, I'm going to put it in my Michael Kors bag and keep it with me forever.
Aw.
But the truth is, that's, you know, that was a big step for me. And I think I'm a better performer for it now. And balance, you know? I think balance has been, I never thought I could have it. I actually started believing that it's one or the other. You either have the man, the life, the baby, the home, or you're the career girl and going for it. Now I'm like, nah. I surround myself with people, including yourself, Jo, you know, who have it all. And I believe in it, you know. It's just about knowing that no one's better than you and no one's less than you. It's just about, everyone's just got their own journey. And for me, getting told, "What would you do? Okay, we'll take away your passion. We'll take away everything you've done. How would you be?" And I went, "I can't. It's just easy." No. I said, because I love when I'm in my passion, when I'm doing what I love, movement, when I'm doing my, it's just like I'm on fire, you know, and it's just like no one can touch me. And to be able to inspire people that feel that raw emotion that I pull from me without words through my movement or through my performing, or even through, to be honest, like I had a Pilates company and I still do a lot of it. I loved like seeing the faces of people that were seeing just body and movement and exercise and how it just makes them feel good.
Yeah, it's a good outlet. I think so often in today's busy society, whether you're a professional person, whether you're a creative artist, we just work ourselves to the grind and we push. Like you said, there's no balance. But I think where we really have the capacity to shine is to take care of ourselves first. You know, it's like, don't, what is that that they say on the airplane? Put your air mask on first. And I think so many of us are always trying to be accountable for everyone else in our lives and for everyone else's happiness, whether it's our colleagues, whether it's our boss. And I think that the one thing that's missing, more so for women than men, but I think it impacts everybody in some way, shape, or form, is boundaries. I think that if we don't learn how to have healthy boundaries in business and personally, that it can have a real negative impact on us. And like you said, I just did Pilates this morning. You know, when you're able to move and take care of your body and heal yourself, then you're no longer at the effect of life. You can just be responsible for your own health and well-being.
And it's healing. I was just home. I just recently signed on to be an ambassador for Leukemia Foundation in Australia. And I grew up with cancer with my mom for many, 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 many years. And so I understand the disease very well, and I understand how important it is. And that's something that I said, yes, I definitely want to be a part. And I'm now working with them on developing a program, not just for acute patients, but also for terminally ill. You know, my mom has had, I can't even tell you how many times we've been told, like, you know, got a few more months or, but there's so many trial drugs and there's so many things out there that they're using right now that are working. But I will say, I've never watching, I'm just using my mom as an example, but watching her light up when she exercises, you know, it just, it's a fire. And we all know that cancer develops more and more through stress.
Yes, true.
Children, you know, I went into the cancer research center here and the children's hospital last Christmas because I just needed to do something that was bigger than myself, because in LA you find yourself saying your name more than, you know, you want to, you know. So I went in there and I wrapped Christmas presents, and I ended on doing some movement and stuff for the kids, and they just like notice the little things, you know, and just like moving a little bit or having a good drum beat around them just like lights up. And you forget, like when I was a kid and I was performing in my mom's and dad's lounge room annoying my aunties and uncles while they were trying to watch the rugby, and I was just dancing in front of them, you know, I wasn't thinking about contracts and you know, while they're watching films and I was all inspired, I wasn't thinking about, oh, I want to be number two on IMDb, you know. I was you know, I was thinking, wow, you know, like that's, just want to embody that. You know, I want to be that strong, I want to be that powerful, you know. And I think like sometimes the grind makes us forget that.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that you just raised, is sometimes when our passion starts to feel like work, then we lose sight of the purpose. Because if you're trying to prove something or get somewhere, you're doing yourself a disservice. And it's funny because I thought about going into the wine industry years ago. I started collecting wine when I was 17. And even just sitting on the board of a wine society, when it started feeling like work going to the meetings and doing it, it took away from my passion or joy. And that's the thing I love about this show or about recruiting, is it doesn't feel like work. When I have the opportunity to sit here in studio and interview you or any guests that I've ever interviewed, it's a joy, it's pleasurable, it's fun. And the same thing is true of getting a job seeker a job. It's so profound to be able to help people get their jobs that it doesn't feel like work, just like I'm sure motion capture doesn't feel like work for you.
Yeah, I mean, performing doesn't, like, when I'm, and aside from gaming and film, you know, being on set, and even as I said, turning a commercial, working on a commercial, and, you know, stage as well, you know, anything where you're embodying your true self in your career. And that was what I, that's why I left. I wouldn't, why bother? Why would I leave a beautiful country like Australia? I could have traveled Europe and America and got right back home and had a, I'd have a Pilates studio and probably a dance studio on the beach. I'd be married probably to a footballer from Newcastle still, which, you know, goes, the, we all got the story. I think we all have it. You know, smoke where you had a chance to, and I'd probably have kids. And I still want those things. Not specifically what I just said, the footballer. But I'm just saying, but I had a choice. You either have a choice to go for it. And for me, I wanted to live a life where I can get up every morning and be doing the gift I've been given. And it's not just performing for me, like I said, with creative directing. Like, I love getting a brand, and this is what I spoke about in Top Model, and being able to, you know, visually make that brand stand out in a unique way, either using technology or on a stage, bringing, like, say, I did a runway show that I choreographed, and there was all, like, black, like, wedding dresses that they looked kind of tutu-y.
Mm.
And I took Metallica, and they're like, oh, you're crazy. Like, Metallica on a runway. It's like, what? I'm like, have you ever heard Metallica? Like, when, if you take out and you make it so it's just instrumental.
Mm.
So, oh my God, it's just like heart-wrenchingly beautiful. And it suits the darkness, you know, that I love when I move. And which is probably why I suit sci-fi.
Yeah, that makes sense.
it doesn't, you know, hurt that I'm extremely pale. You know.
Yeah, you do have kind of the goth thing going. We just need to throw a little black lipstick on you, and
that's why I never
have the Elvira thing going on.
That's why I never wear. I always wear like a bit of red or something just to like balance it out. You know, because I am not goth, but I could probably pull it off. So yeah, it's just really interesting. The whole journey of it all is of life is just full circle. You know, it's always been full circle for me. But I've never felt more, I guess, real now. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, oh my God, the first year I came to LA, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? You know? But that's what I said to the girls on the show when I worked on the show. I said, if you have a niche, when you go through those doubt times, you can always fall back to it to just kind of let go, you know? It doesn't even have, you don't even have to go and do it for your career. Maybe it's boxing, you know, maybe it's something that you're singing, or, you know, maybe you just like watching sports games. Like, have an outlet that makes you go back to you.
Yeah, you know? I think you're right. And I think it's about having faith in yourself in a world full of people who might bully you, or you might even bully yourself. Again, that inner voice that might tell you you can't, you're not pretty enough, not smart enough, not tall enough. I think it's about standing up to the bullies in our head, standing up to the bullies in the world, and just telling yourself, I can do this, and having faith in yourself that you are capable and you can go out and be successful in whatever your chosen field is, and not letting anybody ever tell you differently. It goes back to Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, of having that burning desire. If we look at our forefathers and the people who founded this country and created a lot of the original wealth, a lot of it was Carnegie, Ford, etc., and they all had this one thing in common, is that they desired. Edison had 10,000 mistakes before he figured out the light bulb. And I think that's it. As so many of us, I think, in our generation,
sure,
give up.
I am right up there with the 10,000 mistakes. But I've done 10,000 rights as well in those. You know, it's so true. I remember, God, I think it was the first year we met, Joe. But I would always need to prove, you know, only talk about how things were amazing, great, you know, because you get used to that. In a world like this, you think you need to be that. But then one day I was like, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be who I was brought up to be. And people like it a lot better. And to be honest, it was a huge weight. It's exhausting. Exhausting holding up perfection that doesn't exist, you know. And I think falling into the modeling world, dance world, very, very young, and then acting world, you know, it was like, it was confusing, you know, how much one minute they want you to be real, but you have to be this and you have to be that. But the truth is, and now I see that it's about yourself. I used to blame everything around, going like, oh, it's because of the industry, it's because of this and this and this. It's not. Things started really honestly moving forward for me the moment that I just really came into myself and I stopped. There's a great book that I read called The Four Agreements.
Oh, I love that book. It's one of my favorites.
And I realized I was doing all four. I was doing all four. I was taking things personally, you know. I'm trying to remember what they are.
Be impeccable with your word.
Be impeccable with your word, which I realized I wasn't doing because I was kind of like agreeing with everyone. I was morphing into everybody else that they needed me to be. And at the end of the day, I never thought, you know, the coastal Aussie girl who's traveled the world, you know, who I'm cultured, you know, I've spent a lot of time overseas, but I never thought that I could really be me in all this. I never thought I could wear a red dress to a red carpet event and be able to truly turn around and just go, hey, you know what? I can't wait to just go home, watch some Family Guy, put on some PJs and have a nice glass of wine. The moment I started becoming that, who I am in this world. I think I was told something very, very, very smart recently by actually my really close friend and brand manager back home, Melissa Barrett. And she turned around and said to me on the phone, don't go to LA and become LA. Be in LA and be you. And I think it just comes down to growth and years of training. You can't teach that.
It takes maturity, let's be honest. I mean,
I wouldn't go back to my 22-year-old self and go, you know, I'm still young, but I'm like, you know, I wouldn't go back to my 22-year-old self and go, I expect you to be this together. Like, it's just...
Part of it's learning. I mean, yeah. You have to fall on your face a few times. And I think some people are lucky that, not lucky, some people just know who they are intuitively. And some of us just want to be liked or fit in. And I know it's something I've struggled with is wanting people to like you isn't the end all be all. And the older you get and the more mature you are, the more that you realize be kind, but getting everybody to like you isn't important.
Oh, and it's exhausting.
It totally is.
I did it in four countries.
Wow.
I was wrecked, you know, and you just get over it. I went home on this trip and I probably saw four people, you know, but those four people, if I put them in the room, would feel like 3,000, you know, because they're just so whole. And I remember my dad saying that to me once when I was younger. If you can hold on your hand, you know, five really strong people that got your back, you're full. And I used to think when I was a kid, oh, well, I'm 16 and I've got like 500 coming to my birthday party. You know, like you're so young and naive and silly. But that was the world, you know. And mine is like, well, you know, you're young. You're like, I'm going to go off and be a star, you know. Like I think of that now and I'm like, you know, what was that, you know. And at the end of the day now, I never say that. For me, I want to be successful in what I do and inspire others in what I do. I think it's silly when people say, oh, I'm just in it for the craft. It's like, no, I'm in it for the business too. I want to succeed. I want to live my life and to do
and
that.
And be paid for
and
it
And be paid for it. You want to enjoy it. It's silly when people do that passion bit because I'm like, yeah.
Passion is good, but passion. If passion doesn't pay, then you still need to put food on the table.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I think is really, really important as well. I think people in this industry are quite... sometimes a bit afraid of saying that, you know, putting down, look, you have to pay me for this. It's difficult to do it for somebody. And I used to be like that too, because you almost feel bad. But that's why you got good agents and management behind you. But at the end of the day, I say it again, I've had the great teams behind me. But, you know, they're 10%. You have to put in the grind yourself. A lot of the places I've got have been through my connections and through people that worked with me, and then I always do a good job and respect, you know, the people I'm around. Half of the things I've gotten, you know, it was weird. It wasn't from befriending the model or the actress or the director even, you know. It was from a couple of times, it was the lighting guy
Wow.
Who then called me up and, you know, or I was in front of a person who was actually just a sports journalist and ended on bringing me through, you know, into a gig. So, like, it's, you never know who someone is, you know, and that's something that I stress, and that's probably something that my parents, like, I really grew up with people that they just talk to everyone and they respect the valet guy to the, you know, to the waitress, to the CEO. And that's what's really kept me safe, I think, in over 15 years of traveling the world on my own with my career. But also has brought me, like, the weirdest blessings. And I still use this to this day as an example. If anyone can take anything from this, I hope. In Bondi Beach in Australia, I used to go up and sit at this huge Bondi Junction Westfield. It was like a huge food court. And I'd have a break from dance and I'd just kind of hang out up there and work on my stuff. And I did it a lot and I met this guy. Now, he was just, you know, average looking guy, very, very kind, looked like a big, he reminded me of a big dad, you know, very sweet, and would walk around and clean up the trays, and I'd always say hi, always say bye. One day I said to him, what's your name? And we introduced, and this went on for like 2 years while I was in Sydney. And then on the last time that I was there, before I was about to go away, I saw him in a suit. And I saw him not all the time, I'd always see him like occasionally in there. And he turned around and he said, you know, he was actually one of the board members.
Whoa.
And he used to go undercover every couple of weeks to see how people treated. And he gave me, at this time, it was really sweet. You know, I was 17, 18. And he gave me passes for the cinema. And at that time, I'd never seen 3D. And we were just getting, like, the 3D glasses and stuff.
My gosh, how cute.
At the Westfield Cinema. And he gave me passes because he said, you just always spoke to me with such grace and respected everyone around. And from that moment, I learned that you never know who someone is. And I also learned that, you know, it's just they become, like, the best people.
Yeah, you're so right. I think I was raised the same way with my grandfather, and wherever we went, whether it was the person who bagged your groceries to, you know, the guy who would do your gas back in the day where somebody used to, you know, put the gas pump in for you, you treat everybody with respect and greet them by name. And I think it just creates, like, this mutual respect and kindness. It goes back. I think if we can all just be kind to one another and treat one another with mutual respect, not only will it help you personally and professionally, but you just never know where that one contact could come in that could
and
make a difference.
Definitely not saying it has to be a CEO. I'm saying everyone is just as beautiful, you know, and I'm saying that just, I think it does. It really transcends, you know. You can, it's easy. It's easy, and you know, you can go hang out with, like, the ones that look the part, do the part all the time. But I tell you, you need a bit of soul as well. You know, in who you surround yourself with. And in this town, friendships, they're like golden nuggets. And when you get good ones, you keep them and they become family because you need them, you know, because this is a town, it's like especially in my world here, it's like a huge institute of sport.
Yeah.
You know, and so I now really, I have on my wall at home, obviously my goals and things, you know, vision board, but I also have a really big world map, and that just reminds me of, you know, I got my best friend in Sicily, I've got my family back home, I've got people around me, you know, that you know, it's not all or nothing here, you know, so just keep going and go in your path, but
and surround yourself with good people, I think.
And also, if you want anything to do with like you're talking about Cerulean, you know, I did all the audition. You start realizing that there's a process, it's a political way, you know, of the way things go. And I was very lucky with Tani because coming from someone who's worked with Marvel and Matrix, just did Black Panther, you know, and, you know, and he said, let's develop this. And so developing your own content, I think, in this town is really important, too, because that also gets you where you want to get.
Yeah, it's so true. Somebody actually who we had on LinkedIn, Maria Barraquette, just 2 weeks ago was even talking about on LinkedIn, you have to develop your own content. I think we're all expected, whether it's good or bad, to be creative in today's world. You know, mm-hmm. you could be creating Snapchat videos, Insta, Facebook Live things, but we all have this capacity to go from everything to nothing in a moment just based on what we put out there. So, Danny, you know, you've given our listeners so much wonderful stuff. I could talk to you for hours, but I want to make sure everybody knows where to find your information in case they want to contact you or, you know, have further questions about your story. Tell us again your website.
So my website is www.dannyswan.com. And the comic book and graphic novel TV series that I'm working on at Comic-Con is www.ceruleansci-fi.com. I was about to do .au. That's so Aussie, right?
And Cerulean, can you spell that for everybody?
Yes, it's C-E-R-U-L-E-A-N, sci-fi, S-C-I-F-I.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Danny, for joining us today. Again, I'm so grateful to have you as a friend and as somebody who can go out and inspire people with your story. So tune in next week. Look forward to having a guest on the show next week, and we look forward to having you tune in. Thanks so much, and have a great week, everyone.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.